Our text this morning is found in Mark 13, verses 33 to 36. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and he commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye, therefore, you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping.
So one more word of prayer, and then we'll get into the message. Father, what we desire and what we need is for the Spirit to grant us understanding, because it's only through the Spirit that we can. And so I just pray, Lord, that you'd pour out your Spirit upon all of us, and may we come away with a desire to faithfully wait till you promised soon return. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'm curious, have any of you seen the movie? I don't usually like to refer to Hollywood movies, but in this case I'm going to. Have you seen the movie Hachi? Yeah. You've seen that movie? I'm not actually saying go watch the movie, but Richard Gere plays a man who's a professor, and anyway, you'll get it. But this is actually the real story that Hollywood actually kind of hijacked a little bit. So it was a wintry day in Japan when Professor Ueno brought home a three-month-old Akita puppy, and he named him Hachiko. And every morning, Hachiko would follow the professor to the train station, would go back home, and shortly before 3 o'clock, that train would arrive back, and the professor would be met by an excited Hachiko. Every single day, at precisely the same time, Hachiko met him, and he was saying in his dog language, "I want to just be here for my master when he arrives." And the dog, at about a year and a half old, showed up at the train station at exactly the same time. I have to tell you, do any of you have dogs that can tell time and days? So you guys know that I'm also the pastor of the Glide Church. And so they have asked, when I go there for their community services, they've asked that I bring my dog every week. She's kind of become the mascot. And every Wednesday, she, just as I'm getting out of the shower, there she is, just like pushing on me, saying, "It's time to go, it's time to go." She knows it's Wednesday and she knows what time it is. And Hachiko knew what time it is. Here's the question, church. Do we know what time it is as God's people? But that day, Hachiko did not see his master get off the train. And he waited and he waited and he waited, and disappointed, he went back home. And the next day, at precisely the same time, he showed up and faithfully waited for his master. But Professor Ueno had suffered a massive cerebral hemorrhage right in the middle of his lecture. So pray that I don't do anything like that ever. So, because we do have two doctors in the house. So we would be okay. Every single day, Hachiko did exactly the same thing. And he was expectantly and faithfully waiting for the return of his master. A faithful dog just simply waiting for his master. And time would not erode his loyalty to waiting for his master whatsoever. He was just simply wanting to see his master's face again. And for 9 years, Hachiko did just that. For 9 years, he would, at precisely the same time, expectantly and faithfully wait for his master every single day for the next 9 years. At that train station, every day. And I think you might know where I'm going with this, and I hope you do. Because we have been told that our master is going to return. Amen. Isn't that good news? Yeah. It's not going to be at a train station. It's going to be in the sky where every eye will see him. And every tongue will proclaim that God is good. Amen? So let me ask you a question. Has time eroded the faithful waiting of God's people? Because as Seventh-day Adventists specifically, it's in our DNA. We're Adventists. We're waiting for the second coming of Jesus Christ, and we're proclaiming the second coming of Jesus Christ. And we have been saying soon for generations. But the question is, are we really, truly, faithfully, and dutifully waiting as if it is soon? Just like Hachiko, there was no wavering whatsoever in his waiting for his master. And we're told by our master, we're supposed to watch, and we're supposed to wait, and we're supposed to be ready for the return of our master. Amen? Now, Hachiko knew the exact time, and he faithfully showed up every single day until the day he died. Now, unlike Hachiko, we're told this in Mark 13, verse 32, but of that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Now, this is Jesus speaking from earth. I think he knows now. Would you agree? I think he knows now. So no man knows the day or the hour. So just a little bit of a sidelight. We need to be very, very careful to make sure that as a people, we recognize the signs, but don't start setting dates. Amen. I think you could ask a gentleman named Harold Camping about that. He did it three separate times. So there's numerous things that not knowing something can do, but I'd actually like to focus in on two. One thing that it can do is as waiting stretches out, sometimes as human beings, we can tend to maybe get a little bit indifferent. I call it, from an Adventist perspective, we kind of get second coming fatigue. We've been talking about this for generations, and the Lord's still tarrying. But should we become fatigued with this, no matter how much time passes? That's the idea of faithfully waiting, because time doesn't matter. The promise is what matters. And let me ask you this. Is our God faithful and true with his promises? Amen, he is. But there's one other thing that it can do. It can increase our desire to be ready for the most amazing day that will ever happen to the human race in all of its history. Amen. And my prayer for each one of us is that we'll be part of that group. Amen. That we will have a deep and deepening desire to be ready for when our master returns. And I will tell you that this world is set up to be a big, big distraction. Would you agree with that? And I, and those of you that have been around me, especially outside of a formal setting, there's lots of squirrels in this world. Don't laugh. So our scripture reading for today tells us what we should do. Mark 13, starting with verse 33. Take heed, watch, and pray. In fact, it's amazing that in Sabbath school today, what was our Sabbath school lesson on? But the need for thankfulness and prayer as we walk this earth. And that applies to us as we move toward the second coming of Christ. Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house, gave authority to his servants and to each his work, and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Because as the doorkeeper, you want to make sure to only let in those who are invited guests, because we don't want the uninvited ones who have ill intent for the household, right? Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly, he find you sleeping. And as preachers, once in a while, we find people sleeping, by the way. Hopefully that woke everybody up. Don't feel guilty. Are we watching with the earnestness and the faith of Hachiko? That's the question. Or should our earnestness and faith even exceed that of a loving, dutiful, faithful dog? I would say that. But here's the question, as a people, and I need to wrestle with this question myself. Do we, as a people, need to wake up? We really do. As a people, we need to wake up and realize that our redemption is drawing nigh. Absolutely. But here's the question. Does time actually weaken the certainty and the promise of Jesus' return? Does it weaken that? So it doesn't weaken it from God's perspective, and our prayer should be, Lord, please make certain that it doesn't weaken it from our perspective as your people. But unlike Hachiko, who waited in vain because his master wasn't going to come, because he had died, we have the absolute steadfast, sure promises of God. Amen? We have the promises of God. And we don't refer to this book very often, but there's little gems in this book, the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk 2 verse 3 says this, "The vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak." Do you notice the certainty of it? It shall speak and not lie. In Sabbath school, there was a comment that we need to make sure that we ground everything in truth, because if, in fact, we don't move forward in truth, then we don't even know what we move forward in. So we need to move forward foundationally, realizing that God, through Jesus Christ, is absolute truth. Amen? Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. And doesn't that sound like it's contradictory? It says it tarries, but then it won't tarry. Well, let's just decode that for just a minute, and that is this. Apparently, from our perspective, it seems to tarry. But in the Lord's perspective, he's not tarrying. Why is it that you think that it appears to tarry? I have a personal opinion on it, and that is this. God in his mercy is saying, I just want one more to be able to make a decision. I want one more to be able to take the stand like Noah did and be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and walk with the Lord. The Lord in his mercy, it appears as if to tarry, but I believe that the tarrying is because he just wants one more and one more and one more. But would you agree with this? We can't set a date, but what we can say is this. The window of opportunity to share the gospel is very much in the process of closing. So we don't know the day or the hour, but what we do know is that we can see all around us these signs and realize the window of opportunity for the gospel to go out, that window is most definitely closing. I think that's safe to say. So while the window is open, we need to work, don't we? And we have something that we call the Great Commission as we move forward. Matthew 28, verse 19. Well, verse 18 says that all authority has been granted to Jesus. And then he says that because of that, I'm granting you authority. Now go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. We did that today. Amen? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. And that's the good news is that this whole work that we're involved in as Christians, Jesus says, I will, through the Spirit, walk with you every step of the way. Isn't that good news? So if you feel like sometimes it's stressful or hard to do, understand this. It's not you who does it. It's the Lord who does it in you. It's the Lord who does it in me. The Lord who does it in all of us. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So with this assurance and also these marching orders, let's increase our diligence to watch, to pray, and to work for the Master. But we also need to live life expectantly saying, our Master is soon to return. Lord, please find us faithful. Because ultimately, Scripture tells us, will the Lord find faith on the earth? And the Lord's looking down and he is absolutely positively wanting to judge in favor of the saints. And as we celebrate communion today, we're supposed to, I believe it's covered up by this cloth, in remembrance of me. So we're remembering him, we're remembering his ministry, we're remembering his sacrifice. Today, I'd like us to actually have an emphasis on the message today. Let's remember that he has assured us and promised us the way that you've seen him go, those that were watching, that the way that you have seen him go, he will come in like manner. And it is a rock solid, set in concrete promise. So the challenge for each one of us, may we be found faithfully waiting for our Master. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you so much that we are assured, Jesus, you are coming back again. And Lord, this world is distracting. All of us can be distracted by all kinds of different things. But Lord, please, please help us to be found more and more faithfully waiting for you. And that waiting looks like a people who are also telling others of your return. Father, please fill us with the Holy Spirit. Fill us with a deep desire to walk with you so that we can be faithfully proclaiming your message wherever we go. And help us, Lord, to fulfill the Great Commission. Go, therefore, make disciples, baptize, and teach. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't know if anybody is new to the Seventh-day Adventist communion, but we practice the entirety of what Jesus did at the Last Supper, part of which we call the Ordinance of Humility or the foot washing. And so if you wanted to join in with that, absolutely you're welcome to. In one of the gospel accounts, as Jesus is addressing his disciples, I'll address you, he said, it was with fervent desire that I've desired to share this meal with you. And it's with fervent desire that we desire to share this meal with you up here today. But there's another promise also, and he says that he will no longer partake in anything like this until he comes again. And then we will have a supper like no other. And his promise is that that supper is something that he will then serve us while we partake in the marriage supper of the Lamb. And as the message today, he's inviting all of us to be in faithful anticipation of that.
In readings from 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 and part 24, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it." Our blessed Heavenly Father, we come before you this day on this Sabbath, a high Sabbath. We've witnessed a baptism, and praise Jesus for that. We also thank you for the ordinance of humility and for partaking in the breaking of the bread and drinking of the wine. We are so thankful for those. We hope that we will take the symbolism to heart, and we pray that, well, we're anxious to be able to participate with Jesus in heaven. So we ask that you bless this bread that we understand represents the body of Christ. Amen.
And Jesus said that night, and we say today, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood." We thank you, Father, for the gift of Jesus Christ, for the blood that he shed for each one of us. How grateful we are, might we live our lives in this gratefulness to you. For we ask it in his name. Amen.
And also that night and today, it was said, "This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And Scripture tells us that they sang a hymn and they went out, and we will do the same. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much that we have the hope and the assurance of your return. Lord, please help us to be faithfully waiting. And as we move forward, Father, I pray that we would do all that we do in remembrance of you. And thank you, Father, thank you that we have the assurance that you go with us every step of the way, all the way through to the end. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.